many blessings. So welcome to the call. Let's just start by taking a few wonderful breaths. Ah, yes. Giving thanks and praise. And just breathing in, breathing in that beautiful light. And as you breathe out, just sharing the peace all around you. Letting go. And just breathing deeply and gently. And as you breathe in, just breathing in that spiritual light, peace, straight into your being, straight into your soul. And as you breathe out, just smiling in the peace. All is well, ease and grace. Ah, yes. So welcome to the call. What a wonderful, wonderful day. I'm sitting here looking over the marvelous mountains with lightning in the distance. Storm clouds. Absolutely wonderful. So here we are once again. And I was just talking to someone, just had a client call me, just ended that call just now. And one thing that occurred on that call, which I thought would be useful to share about, is how we really need to understand how to do things that work, and we then need the capacity to keep taking action long enough until we actually get results in our lives in various different ways. And what a lot of people do, and I'm just bringing this up because some of you we've been talking to for a long time, you know, we have built these different wonderful tribes, great souls that we're connecting with. You're one of them if you're listening to this. And some people have remarkably made changes in their life. There's like a day and night difference between what they were when they began and what they are now. And everyone I'm aware of has had wonderful breakthroughs of different kinds. And there's different levels of transformation. And if we are not getting the level of transformation that we want, right, there's two reasons that we're not getting it. One is that the information may be wrong. Okay, and in some cases that's true, right? Some things like, for example, if you want to set up a business, you need to know how to do it, otherwise it's not going to work very well. So one is the information. Sometimes it's lacking information, but most of the time, let's be honest, we already have the information. Most of us know more stuff than we could possibly know what to do with, right? The other thing that can make it difficult for us to change is that we're not doing the things that get the results. And I was just talking to someone a moment ago who said to me, quote, she said to me, do you have anything on blocks to abundance, blocks to money and abundance? And I have actually created a course that's about blocks to money and abundance. And interestingly enough, the main block that many people have is not that they don't know what they're doing. The main block is, very simply, that they are not doing certain things on a regular basis. So I just want to clarify what I mean by this. So blocks to abundance, right? Let's just talk about money and abundance. For a start, the word abundance is not the same as the word money. And using the word abundance as a kind of like placeholder for the word money is in itself a slightly dangerous thing to do. Why is that? Because terms that we use are very important. So there's money, which is cash or credit cards, you know, transactions, currency, right? Then there's wealth, right? And wealth is a whole bunch of different things. So you can be wealthy because you have property, or you can be wealthy because you have spiritual wealth, or you can be wealthy because you have relationships. Wealth is actually really what we want, not money. Money can create wealth, and wealth can create money. But ultimately, if you're locked in a room with $1 million, yeah, let's imagine you're locked in a room with $1 million cash, you can't leave, right? That's the case. You wouldn't actually be a wealthy person, even though you had $1 million. And so, this is very important to remember. If you had $1 million and you were locked in a room and you couldn't leave the room, right? If you were stuck in it and you couldn't get out, you would not be wealthy. You just have a bunch of pieces of paper, and it's no good to you at all. On the other hand, if someone else was locked in a bigger room with $1 million worth of useful things, or even $100 worth of useful things, they could survive in there for some time. Yeah, whereas a person with $1 million locked in the room would die, because cash isn't actually useful. Yeah, cash in and of itself, unless you change it into other things, it has no actual value in itself. And abundance, the word abundance, you can have an abundance of cheese, you can have abundance of like beads, abundance of pens, an abundance of like smelly things, like you can have abundance of anything. It doesn't mean money, yeah, so people use the word abundance, but you can have an abundance of pain, you can have an abundance of bad relationships, you can have abundance of illnesses, yeah, so abundance could be anything, right? If you want wealth, that's really what we want. Money is only good if it turns into wealth, and abundance is only good if it's the right kind of abundance. So what we really are talking about is wealth. And when people say there's a block to abundance, right, this is a kind of a new age statement that you often hear, blocks to abundance. It's very dangerous thinking like this, because what it really comes down to, it's not that abundance is this random thing that's trying to get to you. Yeah, there's not like this funny thing called abundance that's trying to squeeze its way into your house through the cracks in the mailbox or through the cracks in the door. This is like weird way of thinking about things. Abundance isn't trying to get to us. Yeah, we are spiritual beings and we create wealth through our thoughts, words, and deeds. So we are the ones who create wealth. Abundance isn't trying to get to us. We create wealth. And how do we create wealth? How do we get wealth in our lives? Yeah, it isn't by sitting around with pictures of million-dollar bills, looking at the wall and imagining money, money, money. That's not how you get it. You definitely need to have belief in yourself, and you definitely need to have an idea of what you want, so that is important, and focus on it. But money and wealth is a result, a return of what? Of what is it a return of? It's a return of serving others, right? It's a consequence of being of service. Now, what does service mean? Yeah, because you could say, well, yeah, I already do service. How come I'm not a millionaire? You know, it's not as simple as that. What kind of service? It has to be service that is actually helping people in such a way that they feel like something is better afterwards. So in other words, did somebody transform their life in some way? And if they did, if you help someone change their life in some genuine way that they consider important to them, then they are going to be very grateful to you. And if they're very grateful to you, they will give you things back. And the things that you get back from people, by the way, don't have to just be money. Because remember, money isn't that important. Wealth is important. So, for example, let's say you helped somebody and they gave you a bunch of food, or they let you stay in their guest house, or they kind of had some sort of air miles they could give you, or they had some skills they could offer you, or they had like a bunch of books that you might like to read, or they had a spare car or something, right? They could give you all sorts of things. They could give you contacts with other people. They could give you their advice. They could give you books. They could give you all sorts of stuff. They could give you their time. There's thousands of variations of wealth and value which are not money, right? If you help someone out, they can give back to you in a number of different forms which can make your life better. In fact, we could live entirely without any money at all and still be wealthy, right? The only reason we have money is because exchanging services and goods is very, very difficult to do compared to just swapping cash, yeah? So, for example, in the past, if we did away with money, right, and you went into a shop and you're like, I want that screwdriver. Can I have this screwdriver? And they're like, yeah, okay. Well, what I need is I need 7 apples, right? And you're like, well, I haven't got any apples, but I got some bananas. And they're like, yeah, but I don't like bananas. I need 7 apples. So if you had to go and exchange your bananas with someone who had apples and then come back to the shop with your apples and then get your screwdriver, right, that's going to take a lot of time. That's going to be very complicated. So the reason that money exists is to simplify these exchanges, right? But in many cases, you can be given things back that are not money, and if it's what you want, then you're very happy with it anyway. So what all this means is that you don't just sit around waiting for abundance. You're not kind of standing there saying, you know, when's it coming, when's it coming, when's it coming? No, that's ridiculous, actually. It's passive and absurd. Instead, we say, how can I create something that is making another person's life better? How can I make someone feel better? How can I make practically solve someone's problem. Like, I'll give you an example, a practical example. The other day, I was feeling the last couple of weeks like my hearing was going. I was like, oh my God, am I losing my hearing? And I was freaking out about it a little bit. I thought, all right, if I'm supposed to go deaf and not be able to hear anything, fair enough. Like, if this is best for me not to be able to hear, then fine, you know. And it was, you know, I came to like a deep, deep kind of sense that if I'm supposed to not hear anything anymore, fair enough. But I thought, you know what, I'm going to go and see a hearing specialist, because I normally don't go to see any of these doctor people. I just take care of stuff myself, but nothing was working. So I went in to see this woman the other day, and I said, I want to have a hearing test. I want to see what's going on. And she said, all right, let me look in your ears. So she got out her thing. She poked around, and then she said, you got loads of wax in your ears. So she got this little thing, this little device she had, and she scraped away at some stuff in my ear for a few minutes. And all of a sudden, I was like, oh my God, like I can hear perfectly. This is like just incredible, yeah? So 5 minutes with this little, not even 5 minutes, probably like 2 minutes, fiddling around with this thing, and my experience of life was massively improved with about 2 minutes of her time with her special little tool, right? And I, you know, it was like $30 or something, you know. And do you know what I mean? Simple thing. So I went in to somebody with a problem. She fiddled around with this device, got some wax out of my ear. I felt massively better immediately. And there you go. Yeah, that's example of transformation and value. A practical thing. Yeah, ears, hearing, right? And same thing with people with all kinds of problems, right? So if you have something that can solve someone else's problem and you give them that, they will give something back to you. And if you give lots of something to some people, then they'll give you a lot back, right? So if you think about Bill Gates, for example, yeah, Bill Gates, the founder of Microsoft, yeah, and Steve Jobs, Apple founder. So Bill Gates currently is number one richest person in the world, and he's a philanthropist, and he spends most of his time give, right? He's got billions and billions. What did he do? He created software, which frankly wasn't really that good. Apple's software was better, but nonetheless, he did it in a very clever way. And people needed his software, right? Microsoft and all these other things that he created, Microsoft Word and Office and other things, and the operating system, the PC operating system. Yeah, so he created these different software, which is value, because it allowed people to do stuff on their computers. They paid him for it. And he didn't just put that software on one computer. He put it on millions of computers, millions and millions. So he took something of value and timesed it by several million. And that's how he ended up with billions of dollars, yeah? So if you have something useful and you add that to more people, you end up with a lot more money, right? And so a lot of people, they're like sitting around thinking, well, why haven't I got money? Where is the abundance? What's wrong with me? Why aren't I happier? What's wrong? It's a very simple thing. We have to be proactive. And money is very simple. How can you add value to others, and how can you add more value to more people? That's the critical question. And what a lot of people do when it comes to business and money is they prod at it. It's kind of like they get like a stick and they kind of prod at their business a little bit now and again. They kind of prod, and then they sit back and say, where's the money? It's not working. And then prod, and then they say, it's not working. What's wrong with me? Is something wrong with me? I got blocks to abundance. I'm a terrible person. There must be something wrong with me. No, that's all wrong. There's nothing wrong with the person. you just haven't prodded the thing and got your hands on it and understood what you're dealing with properly. You know, you need to spend longer with the actual services that you're offering, you know. So if someone wants to do coaching, for example, they could say, oh, you know, I tried this thing on Facebook, an ad, and I tried this thing and this and that, and it didn't work. Well, how long did you spend on it exactly, you know? Oh, I spent, you know, like 2 hours doing it. Well, that's not really enough time to get a result. You know, you have to take longer with it. Same thing with meditation. So people would say, yeah, I tried meditation. Yeah, it's kind of all right. I didn't really like it. It didn't work for me, so I've given it up. Yeah, and I say to them, well, how long did you try it for? Oh, I tried it twice. That's not going to work. Yeah, twice isn't enough to get a result in anything. It's like someone saying, I tried to learn the piano. Yeah, I sat down at the piano. I had a piano lesson. Yeah, I don't know. I can't play Mozart yet, so I'm just going to abandon it. It's like, no, playing Mozart is going to take quite a few hours of practice. You can't just get one piano lesson and expect to be knocking out sort of complicated classical music pieces or playing anything, really. Someone could say, you know, yeah, I tried cooking. Yeah, it was a bit difficult. I made a mess. I think I'm not going to bother with it anymore. I'm just going to buy stuff from the shop. Yeah, but you have to practice cooking. You have to practice meditation. You have to practice business. You have to practice service. You have to practice writing books. Anything you do requires practice, 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 practice. And one of the reasons that I'm a bit, extremely cautious about the internet and technology, reason I'm cautious about it is because in my humble opinion and my observation, cell phones specifically are making us more stupid and more naive and stupid. That's basically what it comes down to, because the cell phone can do so many things nowadays. Like almost anything you can imagine, you can do on your cell phone. I have a cell phone here, right? Guess where my cell phone sits most of the time? Cell phone, it sits in a tree, wrapped in a piece of, in a plastic, it's in a plastic sandwich bag, freezer bag, in a tree. I don't have it in the house. And my internet box, for the internet, the Wi-Fi, that's also in a tree, wrapped up in a sandwich bag to keep out of the rain. Why is my cell phone and internet outside in a tree? Because these things are massively time consuming and wasteful and don't give back much. And what they do is they allow us to do all sorts of stuff very easily. But the problem with doing lots of stuff very easily is that we stop thinking properly. So we've become a society of basically instant gratification crackheads. We expect instant gratification constantly. So if you have a cell phone, right, and you get back to people, Facebook, text message, this and that, do the click, 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 buying stuff online, you're watching videos, movies, anything on the thing all the time, right? And then you're used to everything fast, and then you go to the piano to try and learn to play the piano. You're like, oh my God, this is so hard. I can't hardly do it. Like, this is taking hours and I'm not much better than I was yesterday. Then you pick up the cell phone and you're like the master of the universe. Click, 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 swipe, swipe, swipe. You do everything quick, quick, quick. And then you go and do meditation and you're like, oh my God, my head's all over the place. I can't control my thoughts. Everything's a total disaster. Pick up the cell phone, click, 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 the master of the universe, everything's easy, click, 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 click. And then you go back. Do you know what I mean? So to do anything practically, it requires practice and effort. But technology doesn't require practice and effort. It's become so seamless that it's really, really easy to use. So on the one hand, it's a wonderful thing because it's so easy to use. On the other hand, it sets us up for expecting everything, unconsciously expecting everything to be as easy as using a cell phone. And unfortunately, it isn't the same, right? It's not the same at all. Using a cell phone is not the same as learning meditation or creating a business or playing the piano or having good relationships or going on a hike, you know, or like going on a massive road trip around the world. All these things require practice and effort. And so if we get too comfortable using technology, we're kind of having this split reality. And what has happened, well, the younger generation, is that they spend basically 8 hours plus on every day on their different devices. So they've become masters of a false universe, which only exists on these pieces of technology. But they don't have any idea how to do basic things. They can't even relate to other people because they haven't got any social skills, because they don't talk to actual people. They only talk to people on text messages. And you might think, well, that's what's wrong with that? You know, that's fair enough. It's just new technology. Well, the thing is that when these things break, or when if there's a solar flare, I don't know if you realize this, but if a solar flare, the sun has solar flares, right? And there was a big solar flare about 110 years ago that knocked out the telephones and the telegrams, right? Before telephones. It knocked them all out, and there was the cables were set on fire, right, in these telegram offices because of the solar flares, you know, the sun. The sun sends out these flares. If we had a solar flare like that again, it would knock out satellites, and it would knock out tons and tons and tons of the communication things. And the internet would go down temporarily. At least part of the internet would go down. All kinds of stuff would go offline. Cell phones wouldn't work. They'd just, you know, it would be absolute chaos. And it's going to happen, by the way. This isn't, it's only a matter of time, because these solar flares happen, you know, frequently. And so we've kind of been lucky that we haven't had one recently, right? There kind of has been a gap, but there's going to be another one, and there's going to be more and more of them, because that's what the sun does. When it happens, all this virtual world that we're living in is all not going to work anymore, right? Won't work. So all these people who are massively addicted to their cell phones and their internet, right? When the solar flares come and take them down, they're going to realize they haven't figured out how to live their life because they've spent eight hours a day on their different devices, right? And they won't know what to do with themselves, right? This is going to be a big problem, because if you can't figure out how to live your life in the real world now, then when this sort of stuff doesn't work, then you've kind of got to figure it all out in one shot. So what I'm encouraging all superheroes to do is to take some time away from your devices and learn how to practice important things in your life. Because the only way you're going to get results, transformation, is by practice, doing things long enough for them to actually work. Long enough to work. And if you don't do it long enough, then you won't get good at it, you know. So it's not like bad news. This is good news. This is just the news. This is just what it is. To get good at anything requires proper time, right? So if you're having a project that you want to work on, and you're like, yeah, it's not doing as well as I wanted it to, well, you probably just need to spend a bit more time on it. You probably also need to spend more time away from your phone. I want to talk a little bit more about the phone, because I've just done a digital detox course, right? And I've come to realize this is a much, 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 much bigger problem than most people are aware of. And I just want to share some stuff that you probably never considered before, right? First of all, what is a clock? What is a clock? Yeah, you think, well, a clock is a thing that tells the time. Yeah? How many hours are there in a day? Yeah, you'll probably say, well, there's 24 hours in a day. How many minutes are there in an hour? 60 minutes is probably what you'd think. And how many seconds are there in a minute? 60 seconds in a minute. Right? This is basic knowledge, yeah? Turns out it's complete bullshit. Complete bullshit. There are not 24 hours in a day. There are not 60 minutes in an hour. And there are not 60 seconds in a minute. This is all man-made creation. There were not any clocks around 1,000 years ago, like there are now. People didn't have clocks. There wasn't a global clock system in the world. This is a man-made device. Time and clock. Clock is a technology. I don't know if you realize this, but a clock is a man-made technology, just like a cell phone and a computer and the internet and telephones. It's all man-made technologies. Right? And we are living inside of a cage, a jail of man-made technologies that affect the way we think about the world, which isn't actually the way the world is. Right? So there are not actually 24 hours in a day. The Earth goes round every day, right? It goes round and round and round. That's true. You can see the sun, you know, rising and sunsetting. How does the sun rise and sunset? Because the Earth is turning round, right? And the sun is in a particular place. The Earth's in a place, and as it goes round and round and round, we see the sun, or we don't see the sun, right? There aren't 24 hours in a day. There's just the sun and the Earth and the moon, yeah? You don't need to live on a 24-hour clock. Because there's no such thing, really. It's just something people invented. And one thing I've done, once I've pulled the plug on the internet, like I have the internet in the tree, have the cell phone in the tree, I only get it out when I need it. And I started looking at the clock thinking, hang on a minute, this is very unnatural. It creates a sense of stress, this weird technology called the clock. Because the Earth and the Moon and the Sun are all real things, yeah? A clock is not a real thing. It's a man-made creation, all right? It might take you a while to come to terms with this because we are so used to clocks, we think that's just how it is. But no, the Sun is a real thing, Earth is a real thing, the Moon is a real thing. The Moon has an effect on us. Yeah, the moon affects the tides. The moon is a powerful thing. The sun is a very, very, very powerful thing. Because if there was no sun, we would all freeze to death and that would be the end of it. Yeah, that would be the end of our world. The sun is absolutely critical. So, of course, we have a relationship with the sun. We have a relationship with the moon. We don't actually have a relationship with clocks. We don't. That's man-made and it's artificial. Yeah, it's like virtual reality. A clock is basically a form of virtual reality in a sense. It's augmented reality. It's a reality superimposed onto the world. There's no such thing as the 24-hour clock, really. It's essentially augmented reality. So this is something I've done. Because I like to keep you up to date with the latest and greatest. First of all, get rid of all your technology because it's bad news. You know, get rid of it. It's not superheroes to have technology all the time. Get rid of it and use it only occasionally. Second thing that I've personally done is, and to make you understand this, I'll just go back a step. The body, your body, your physical body, is part of nature, yeah, it's part of the world. So you're living on planet Earth, you have a body. There's no such thing as clocks, they're all man-made. But the body has a natural clock of its own, in a sense. It has rhythms. So there's chiradian rhythms. I don't know if you've heard about this, chiradian rhythms. It means the flow of energy that your body naturally goes through during the day. So, for example, it goes in waves. Yeah, it goes up. Imagine like a wave that goes up, and it goes down, and it goes up, and it goes down. So when you wake up in the morning, if you've had a good night's rest, you wake up, and your energy is at the low level because you've been asleep, so you're kind of a little bit drowsy when you wake up normally. Then, during the next couple of hours, the energy goes up. It starts to peak, right? And it reaches peak energy after about an hour and a half to 2 hours, right? It goes up and it's peak energy. Then it dips back down again and it goes to sort of more inward time, right? Inward energy. So it goes from down to up, and then from up to down, and then from down to up. And it goes down, up and down, up and down, up and down every roughly 2 hours. Okay, so you go from high energy to low energy to high energy to low energy, right? And when it's noon, when it's the sun, full sun, right? When the sun is at the highest in the sky, that's when your digestion is at its peak. So your best time to have a big meal, yeah, your biggest food intake should be at noon, lunchtime. Yeah, because that's when your body, according to your body in relationship to the planet and to the sun, right? This is all very natural, normal stuff here. Your body has more digestive power at that time, right? And then, you know, so the chiral rhythms are going up and down, up and down. And then it starts getting dark, right? And then your body starts getting ready to go to sleep because we human beings are not nocturnal, yeah? We are those who are naturally awake during the light and naturally asleep during the evening, yeah? The night time we're supposed to go to sleep. Technology has screwed it all up because we have a clock. So instead of people tuning into their body about what to do, they're looking at the clock. I have to do this thing at 11 o'clock, I have to do this thing at 12 o'clock. Yeah, that's not natural. You should be thinking, well, how is the rhythm of the body? How is the rhythm of the day? What's the seasons? That's much more natural, right? Because these are real things. Technology has allowed us to stay up all night because we can turn the light on. It's given us cell phones constantly these days, given us a clock. So we're living, if you have all this technology, you're living in a cage, a man-made cage, where human beings are basically communicating with each other within the forms that they've created themselves. So it's kind of like technology talking to itself rather than nature and real connection happening between nature and other real beings. It's technology and technology and technology. So it's kind of like building a false reality on top of a real reality, right? And so when you wake up, you have less energy, and then you get more energy gradually, and then it goes down again, right? So when the energy is at the peak, that's when you're most likely to do good work and to take care of stuff and run around and do things, yeah? When you have peak energy, you have more energy to do the certain things. Then the energy starts dipping down naturally, right? And what, in our mad culture, what happens when the energy dips down? What do people do? They don't take a nap. What do they do instead? They drink caffeinated drinks or chocolate drinks, or they force themselves through it, yeah? So instead of listening to the body and saying, this is naturally a more inward period, I need to take a rest, our mad, sick culture says drink Red Bull or just drink more coffee, or, you know, just push yourself through it, or just have loads of sugar and don't worry about it, yeah? So what's happened is that we're completely out of hand, out of control, not at all in touch with ourselves. And I personally feel the cell phone is the number one culprit with all this. I would say if you want to get a better life, the number one thing to get a better life is do get rid of your phone, cell phone. Get rid of it. Or if you can't get rid of it, because you really, really, really do need one, which I'd like, let's be honest, you could probably get a landline, you could probably get a flip phone, like, we don't need smartphones, right? I recommend get rid of it for 6 days out of 7. unless absolutely necessary, and maybe half an hour a day. At the very, very least, use it for less than 20 minutes or half an hour a day. Half an hour a day maximum on the cell phone for superheroes. More than that, and it's crack addiction. Let's just call it out for what it is, crack addiction. It's cell phone crack addiction. Half an hour a day is plenty. And same with the internet. Half an hour internet, half an hour cell phone. Hour a day maximum. Maximum. But more likely don't use it at all. And like, chop it down to maybe an hour a week, 2 hours a week, 3 hours a week. Total. That's going to do you the world good. I didn't realize how severe this was until I got rid of all this stuff. And now that I have, I'm like, oh my God, what the hell is wrong with me and wrong with the world? Yeah, I could see again clearly, finally. Yeah, because these things snuck up on us. It happened gradually. The iPhone came out 2007, gradual. Now it's got out of control. Yeah? It's like the frog in the pot. You put a frog in a pot, you turn the water on. Yeah, this is a real story. If you put a frog in a pot and you turn the water on hot, and you keep heating it up, the frog's body temperature increases, and he stays in the pot because he can increase his own body temperature to match the water. But after a while, what happens is he just basically boils to death and dies, and you have this boiled frog in the pot. That's how they cook frogs, yeah? We have become like the frogs in the pot. It started out gradual, and it got worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. And if you're not careful, you're going to be boiled to death like a dead frog if you don't get rid of these things. So, number one, get rid of it. And number two, this is something I'm excited to do myself, is I've bought a 24-hour clock. It's coming in the post tomorrow. And I'm creating my own schedule based on the Chiradian rhythms so that at the beginning of the day, isn't anymore midnight, 12 o'clock. Who came up with that? I didn't come up with that. That's unnatural. Unnatural. Right? Midnight isn't the beginning of the day. That's someone's idea. When do you think the beginning of the day is for you? For me, the beginning of the day is when I wake up. Because I wake up, and as far as I'm concerned, the day has begun once I'm awake. You know, I go to sleep when it's one day, and I wake up and it's the next day, right? So my new clock, the beginning of the day is going to be when I wake up. So just before sunrise is the beginning of the new day. And this is in Vedic astrology, in Ayurveda, Vedic astrology, traditionally, for thousands of years, this is how they did it anyway, yeah? So this is the old school times of day, yeah? It didn't used to be hours like it is now. The beginning of the day changed depending on the seasons, depending on the weather, you know, how much light there is. So in the summer, the day would be a bit different than in the winter because there's more light in the summer. So the beginning of the day, and you can do this, you know, if you want to do this, get a clock, right? You create your own clock. And I'm going to superimpose my own picture of my daily routine, yeah? Because I have one of my courses is, you know, how to create a daily routine. So you just draw a circle and you say, when do you want to start your day? What do you want to do in the morning? What do you want to do first thing in the morning, mid-morning, afternoon, evening? And so your clock, your real clock, can be based on you and what nature's happening around you and what you want to do with your day. So for me, the beginning of the day is when it's still dark, just before the morning, just before the light comes up, sunrise, just before. So the first period of the day is naturally an inward period because the Chiradian rhythms, the energy is down, right? You're waking up, it's time for meditation, yoga, drinking water, a little bit of gentle exercise, you know, going to have a shower, all these things, right? Naturally, that's what the morning's like. It's not natural to wake up with an alarm clock and run around and stuff your face with food and rush off to work. That's super unnatural. Natural thing is to wake up early, have 2 hours of gentle relaxation and peace. Then, once you've eaten and you've had some proper time for yourself, then it's time to create. Be of service to others, create something wonderful. Then, naturally, after that, the energy goes down again. Yeah? Naturally goes down, so it's time for a rest, time for some more food, time to drink some water or whatever. Relax, maybe read a book, go for a walk, gentle. Then when the energy starts bouncing back again naturally because of the chiral rhythms of the body, yeah, then of course it's inspiring to get back on it and do some more work, create some stuff, talk to people. And then it goes down again, and it goes up and down, up and down, up and down, right? You can create your own clock that is based on actually what's going on really. Yeah, rather than arbitrary numbers that someone created back in the day. Right? And if you live in rhythm, natural rhythm with yourself, and you do away with all these ridiculous, addictive, weaponized technology things, and these man-made 24-hour clocks and all this stuff, do away with it all, and you'll come back to a natural state of peace and a natural state of harmony and a natural state of ease and grace, which is what we're supposed to experience. But you can't really experience all these things, can't really experience it if we are spending hours and hours and hours of our time caught up in a Western clock and all these weird forms of technology. And honestly, if you do away with Facebook and all of it, do away with the whole thing, you won't really miss anything. You really won't. There's nothing going on. You know, it's an illusion. I've taken time away from Facebook, and I've gone on now and again, and I'm like, it's really nothing there. I mean, of course, I love everyone. That's why I do these calls. I love connecting with people and sharing live. Yeah, but the Facebook specifically, Mark Zuckerberg and the whole Facebook corporation, what it should be called is Big Corp, because Facebook is a big corporate company. I don't know if you realize this. Facebook is a huge corporation. It's kind of like Monsanto, yeah? Big corporate company. And what do? They store data. So it should be called Big Corp Data Farming and Social Ranking System. You know, social ranking company. Big Corp Data Harvesting and Social Ranking System. Yeah. I mean, to me, I have no interest in going on to Big Corp Social Ranking System and Data Harvesting Company. That's what it is. That's what Facebook is. We are working for them for free so that they can basically make money off our data. Yeah, this is not a situation that I'm happy with at all. Yeah, I'm not going to waste my time so they can get billions of dollars. It's just not, just doesn't make any sense. When you look at these things long enough and you have a good look at what is going on here, 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 you start to see through what's all this absurdity, and you start saying, aha, this is not at all what it appears to be. This is completely different. This is a gambling system where people gamble. Going on Facebook is basically like gambling. You gamble with your time, you gamble with little prizes. You know, the prizes are likes and clicks and shares. Gambling, you know, in Las Vegas, you get, you know, chips and you get money. But gambling on Facebook, you get likes, shares, and clicks, and, you know, sort of silly cat videos and stuff, yeah, to people's random things. You get notifications, you get those little red things. That's what you're basically being paid. And Facebook is the one who's winning. So they're paying you to be gambling on their system with little red notifications and funny little pieces of information. Not a good use of time, not a healthy way to live, not natural at all. So if you want to have an epic life, first of all, get rid of technology as much as possible. I've nothing against technology. Like, a car is great, central heating is great, you know, AC is great. Yeah. Music, I have a record player here, it's fantastic, yeah. Light is great. Technology can be wonderful, but weaponized technology. Cell phones are weaponized. They're lethal. They're designed by people who've made them addictive. This is not normal stuff here. Anything that has notifications is best to be avoided, basically. Any simple rule of thumb is the more notifications, the more you need to turn that thing off and get away from it and delete it. Yeah, something that doesn't have any notifications and doesn't demand that you do anything at all is probably going to be all right to use. But anything addictive and anything with notifications, they've designed it to trap your precious life force. And as a superhero, your precious life force is very, 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 very valuable. And it's not really worth you giving your precious life force to these big corporate companies that are abusing you, yeah? It's not fair for you to waste your life being abused by big corporate companies. Not a good thing at all, yeah? It's a big loss for you and a big gain for them. And so when you end up with a win-lose situation like that, it's just not a good thing to carry on with. So what we do is we pull the plug on all this nonsense. We create our own time zones, our own way of living, our own natural way of living in tune with our body, with nature, with our spirit, with our consciousness, with what's natural. And then we can actually practice. We actually can take the time to practice things that matter most. So if you want to write, practice writing. If you want to do meditation, yoga, meditation, spiritual power, practice, practice, practice. If you want to have a better relationship, practice spending time with people. You know, if you want to eat better food, practice eating. You know, learn how to make better food, eat more gently, quietly. If you like reading, then read, spend time reading. And do things, real things in real life. Yeah? That's how you're going to actually create transformation. So instead of thinking, you know, expecting everything to be like a cell phone, because we don't consciously expect this. This is unconscious. This is unconscious expectation. We need to do away with it. Do away with it. And come back to the real world. Because when those solar flares come and when things start going weird, if you haven't pulled the plug and detoxed yourself from all this stuff, you're going to be super freaked out. Because if your whole life revolves around these devices, you're in trouble for when the time comes and you can't use them anymore. Because it's going to happen. This is not going to carry on. This is not healthy stuff to begin with. People are becoming more and more depressed using all this technology. Yeah, do you know that? People are more depressed. They're 8 to 10 times more depressed than they were in the 1950s, despite having more money and better technology. I wouldn't say better technology. I'd say more dangerous technology. So if you want to be happier, more successful, take it away. And remember, what's the method? Get a freezer bag, yeah? Just buy a pack of freezer bags, so you know, with a Ziploc. Put your phone in the bag. Go to your Wi-Fi box and unplug the plug, yeah, for the Wi-Fi, because it's not going to work without the plug. Unplug it and put the plug in the bag. So you have a bag with your cell phone, turn it off, and Wi-Fi plug, and you take it outside and hide it in a tree, in one of the branches, you know. Just stick it in the corner somewhere, or if you need to put it in a bigger bag and hang it on the tree, or whatever, do what you need to do so it's out of the house, right? Physically out of your house. If you live in a city and there's, you know, you can't do that, then maybe give it to a neighbor or something, you know, get it out of your house another way. But otherwise, put it in a tree, dig a hole, do something with it. And you'll notice that once it's away, that you immediately feel much, much, much better. Yeah, much better. And if you want to talk to people, because we all love talking to people, meet them in person or by a landline. I'm talking to you on a landline. It works just fine. And honestly, it's been quite funny getting a landline, because I've told people, look, please stop texting me. Please stop sending me WhatsApp messages. Please stop emailing me. Just call me up. Call me up. Give me a call. There's my number. And they still send me all these messages. Because I think we've become a society of cowards and lazy people because of technology. I'm just as guilty as the next person. It's easier to send a text. It's easier to send an email than it is to call someone up and have a real conversation. Yeah, but basically we lose out a lot because you never get the personal connection, really, if you don't talk to them. You don't get the love and the good vibes. And in the same way, and also we can be rude, we can be slack, we can be lazy, we can blow people out. There's all sorts of things that happen that you can do with text messages you can't do in person, yeah? But anyway, it's well worth it. So if you get a landline, $20 a month or something, it's much better than you could do away with the data on your cell phone and put that same money into getting a landline, and you'd be much better off. Yeah. And, you know, frankly, what is the world? What is our culture? What is it really? It's basically a bunch of brainwashing. It's what it is. It's just back-to-back toxic brainwashing. Pretty much 99.9% toxic. So if you go on Facebook, it's nearly all toxic. If you go on the news, it's nearly all toxic or lies. If you watch films, it's nearly all toxic, hidden messages. It's just toxic, toxic, toxic. So, you know, it's not as if we're missing out on anything, really. We're just addicted to toxic things. So when you get rid of it, you know, you have a little bit of a withdrawal symptoms and freak out a bit to begin with, but then after a while you're just like, oh my God, what the hell was wrong with me? That was crazy. And then you feel fantastic. And then it's almost like you have to do these things first before you can even attempt to make any progress. So when people say, oh, I'm not getting the results in my life, well, the first thing is just get rid of all the stuff that's holding you back. Get rid of your cell phone, get rid of your internet, get rid of all this stuff, live on a natural schedule to start with, and then, once you've done that, then you can even begin to have a normal life, you know. It's almost like you got to get the foundation first before you try and build a building, right? And trying to build a building when all this toxic stuff is dominating our lives is just not going to work. So, there you have it. Have fun. It's going to be an awesome summer, rest of the summer. And the more time you spend away from all these things, the more joy you're going to feel, the more ease and grace you're going to feel. And it's all going to get easier and easier and easier. So it's just the best news ever. And if anyone has any questions or would like to share anything, press *2. I'd love to hear from you. Just let you, if you want to, you're welcome to press *2 and I will, let's have a little chat. Yeah, we've talked about a lot of stuff here. You can do it. Fun and games, isn't it? Because there's a lot to be experienced. A lot to be experienced. And yeah, I just want to, you know, acknowledge you for being here, for listening to these things, because this is the real deal stuff here that most people won't ever talk about. And just understand, we are living in a mad time, in a sick culture, and we are frogs in the pot. You know, this whole madness of excessive brainwashing has gradually been turned up, and it's been going on for thousands of years, actually, but it's got a lot worse in the last 100 years, right? And it's just been cranked up, and it's now reached a point where it's absolutely ridiculous. And you know what the next thing that's going to happen is, just to give you a heads up about where things are going? Virtual reality and augmented reality. I don't know if you know what that means. Augmented reality is where, if you have Snapchat, hopefully you haven't got Snapchat, and if you have, you want to get rid of it, but if you've ever installed it on your phone, you can put, like, funny ears on your face, and you can do all this, you can have superimpose virtual, you know, things on top of your face, right? Augmented reality is where you superimpose fake things onto real things, basically. So you're having like a virtual world slapped onto the real world. This is started to take off, and you're going to see it getting more and more and more over the next few years. And the danger of this is that it's just that people are going to think that it's fun, and they're going to spend time on it. The problem is that they're going to start thinking that these virtual things that have been superimposed onto the real world, they're going to start to think that that's important, and that has meaning, and it has value. So human beings are going to give value to superficial things that don't really exist, right? And so you might have someone who has created an augmented graffiti on a wall that doesn't exist, and you have to wear certain glasses or look at it through your phone or something. And so you're going to see, for example, hate messages and graffiti and all sorts of horrible messages in public places that aren't really there, but they only exist in augmented reality. So there's going to be this world superimposed on the world. And it kind of sounds fun, actually, and I kind of think it sounds fun. But what's going to happen is people are going to get caught up in it, just like people are caught up in Facebook. They're now going to get caught up in this augmented reality as well. So it's going to take people even more away from what's really going on, right? And then virtual reality is going to get very, very convincing. So people are going to be living in playing virtual reality games, and they're not going to be aware of their bodies or the world around them. Now, the good side of this is that the more people who do that, the more time you're going to be able to enjoy being in nature, because everyone's going to be in the house and no one's going to hardly go out. You know, like, yeah, it's so funny, like in Hawaii, yeah, I can go to the beach in the morning and no one there, hardly ever, you know, early in the morning, because they're all on their phones and checking it out. So it's almost like this sort of sick benefit for people who don't do it is that you get to enjoy the actual world because hardly anyone else is paying attention to it. But the problem with it is that we're going to have a society of zombies. We already have a society of zombies, but it's going to get like 10 times worse. And so I'm encouraging you to get out of this madness now before it gets out of control, because if you get addicted to augmented reality and virtual reality, then you're in trouble, right? And that's not a good thing at all, okay? So you might think, hey, I don't know, it sounds good, but I like my phone, and yeah, you know, but you know, you don't understand what it's like living in the real world. No, I do understand. This is toxic stuff. Get out of it. Get out of it quick. And if you need to have an iPod, get an iPod. You have to buy them. They're hardly available anymore because they don't make them anymore because they're not addictive. If you want to listen to music, get an iPod. If you want to take pictures, buy a camera, you know. But just see if you can get rid of your smartphone. Turn off your internet when you're not using it, and you'll feel a lot better. Yeah, you'll be one of the sane few in the world. Yeah, and you won't realize if you think, oh, you know what, I think you're exaggerating, it's not that bad. All right, well, if you really think that's the case, do a digital detox proper. Don't touch any cell phones or internet for a month. You tell me whether you have any addiction to it. You can't tell if you're addicted to something until you try and stop doing it. Yeah, people say, oh, you know, I could easily give up smoking whenever I want. And you say, all right, well, stop now and see if you can not smoke for a year then. And they're like, I don't know about that. Yeah, someone says, oh, you know, I haven't got a problem with myself. And I'm like, okay, we'll turn it off for 3 weeks then. Oh, I can't because of work. No, you could probably be all right. See if you can get a landline, turn it off. Yeah, we're just making excuses. We're addicts. So you turn it off, and you will feel fantastic. So, sending you lots and lots of love. Enjoy, enjoy, enjoy the wonders of it all. And I'll talk to you very soon. Big love, lots of hugs, and aloha.